Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. It's time for our weekly rendezvous with our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster, who tells us today about the particular charism of his order. Father Foster, you're a Carmelite, right? How do you say Carmelite?
A Carmelita.
Carmel is a prominent landmark in northern Israel at a remote and inaccessible height. Is that right?
Well, it's on the top of a mountain. It's a Mount Carmel. It's a mountain over Haifa, overlooking Haifa.
First part of the word, it comes from the Hebrew, no? A word meaning vineyard or a garden.
Yeah, exactly. The gardens.
And the suffix El takes on the meaning of garden of the Lord, but in Hebrew. So how would you say all that in Latin?
Suffixum accipit vim ex lingua hebraica. Vim divinum.
Vim.
Vim, power, force.
Is that why the soap used to be called vim?
Well, certainly. What you wash your bathroom with is... Or when someone has vim and vigor. Those are two Latin words just right there.
So you're connected, I discovered, by looking around about the Carmelites, that you're connected to Elijah.
Yeah, he's considered our spiritual father.
I didn't know that.
Well, if you go to St. Peter's Basilica, you have a massive statue of Elias.
Where?
In the main aisle of St. Peter's.
I've never seen it.
Well, you should, on the right-hand side.
On his chariot.
No, he's not. He's standing there. And it's really there. It's a Omnium Carmelitarum Pater, the father of all Carmelites.
Where is it exactly?
It's around the third or fourth statue on the right-hand side of the main aisle. Massive thing, about 20 feet big. Title below is the father of all Carmelites, spiritual father.
He was pursued into the desert by his enemies, and after a 40-day journey, he was left in the depths of failure, loneliness, and despair.
Oh, yeah, well, that wasn't why he's the with the Carmelites.
So what's he got to do with Carmelites?
Because of what they call the duplicem spiritum. He had a double spirit. Which I like about the Carmelites to this day.
What does that
mean?
Namely,
when I go home now, I'm a hermit. No one comes in, no one bothers, no noise, no nothing.
How do you say that?
But when I'm outside, I'm very active and busy.
Okay, can you say all that to me in Latin?
Paucis verbis. Bene, cum domi sum tamquam anacoretusum. Sed foris cum versor. Some actuosissimus, I'm very active when I'm outside. Well, that was the thing with Elias. He would go in his cave and pray for a couple months and then come out and kill all the enemies of the Lord, like 500 of them.
Well, killing is never...
I mean, that was kind of a job or an exhausting thing, and then he'd go back to his cave.
Yeah, but fighting.
And then the Lord, don't worry about it. And then the Lord.
I want to worry about it. You're just telling me that your spiritual father is someone who went around killing people.
No. I said he was given assignments by God. And then he'd come out and be very active. And when it was over with, he'd go back to his cave and pray. And that's the ideal of the Carmelites, really, to this day, the double spirit.
Is that what you really liked about the
charism? That's why I entered.
The charism.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't given up. What is it going to be? 49, almost 50 years that I'm in the order. But I like the idea to turn the thing on and off, you see. I mean, I can run around all day long. When I go home, bang, that's the end of it. Silence, peace, prayer, meditation, and that's the double spirit. I mean, some people turn their rooms or their monasteries into meeting halls. Oh, no.
How would you describe your charism in a few words in Latin?
Well, it's a duplex spiritus. It's a precautionis et actionis, of prayer and activity.
Chiefly contemplative, involving enclosure and withdrawal from the world.
Exactly.
Okay? How do you say all that? Chiefly contemplative.
Resertim est umbratilis, well, contemplativa vita.
Involving enclosure and withdrawal.
Certissime, clausuram... Amplectens et recessum amundo.
But some Carmelites actually live enclosed, don't they? They're cloistered Carmelites.
Oh, yeah, the sisters are.
Just the sisters?
Yeah, we don't have... Well, no. Well, we have what you call desert foundations.
Which are?
Like, you know, hermits. We have one in the United States in West Virginia, where they have little houses and there are five or six. And
that's not being a hermit, being five or six together.
No, I mean, they're living, five or six are in five, six little houses. Mm. So we still have it, but it's the sisters who have the strict enclosure, which we don't. We don't have.
Would the Romans have understood that kind of life, the life of a hermit?
No, they probably wouldn't have understood it. There were such people, like philosophers and stuff, you know, who would go off and be alone and run away from humanity in this wicked world and then come back and maybe teach and do something and then disappear. The Romans knew that people did this. But they wouldn't understand, religiously, they wouldn't understand.
But do you think Cicero would have understood Elijah at all?
Yes, I think so.
When he was on his chariot of fire, or what?
Chariot of fire.
How do you say chariot of fire?
Curus igneus. Mm. That's in scripture.
Anyway, getting back to Cicero, do you think he would have understood Elijah, or...?
He would have understood, like, a double way of life. I mean, which he himself did. I mean, he would be in the forum and in the Senate House giving speeches, and then maybe for a couple months, nothing. And writing things at home in silence in the library. Well, they understood, you know, the switching on and off.
So how do you say a switch? How would you say
permutatio, commutatio.
Anyway, switching to other Carmelite figures. In the 16th century, a Spanish mystic called Saint Teresa of Avila.
Our foundress.
She's your foundress.
And they call her the Legifera Mater, the legislating mother. She, of course, founded the nuns, and then she got some men to follow her idea.
Like Saint John of the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
She was described as a restless, contumacious gadabout at one point.
Well, yes.
How do you say all that in Latin?
Inquieta et impudens, vagabunda. Well, because she was running around Spain making foundations and all that stuff. And was involved in everything, writing to kings and queens and popes. And so she was quite...
It was the Carmelite double life she actually had.
And then she'd come home and get off her jackass and become in the monastery and quiet and not do anything for a year.
What are other figures that you think are particularly significant for the Carmelites?
I mean, all of we have all of our giants there, Thérèse and...
Thérèse of Lisieux.
Yes.
The other Thérèse, and then Edith Stein more recently.
Yeah, the latest, yeah.
And what's the name? Titus Brandsman.
Well, he's the other order. I mean, he's a Carmelite,
okay,
too.
Okay, we got that. He's not a Descalz Carmelite, or
no, he's a Calz Carmelite.
So you're a Descalz Carmelite,
yes,
you have shoes on.
Yes, that's all gone. The name doesn't mean anything anymore. The old days in the 1500s to be with unshod, got it, like sandals or barefoot, was a sign of a reform, that the order was reformed and we belonged to the reformation of the order.
The sign of poverty.
Well, it was a sign, it was an exterior sign. That's why you have Discalced Augustinians, and all these people with sandals were supposed to be a sign of a reformed, this is the Council of Trent business, a reformed order. But anyway, now it was Discalz doesn't mean anything in English.
Of course, you have a Marian devotion too, which we haven't spoken about.
Well, yes, certainly.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Oh, yeah, that goes way back to the beginning.
What can you tell me about it?
Well, I mean, that's why the old thing in the Old Testament, where they saw this little, like a cloud over Mount Carmel, and they always interpreted this as the presence of the Blessed Mother and so forth and so on. But as soon, they had this devotion to Mary. And when they came to Europe from Mount Carmel, they brought this tremendous devotion to Mary.
But why are you talking about the Old Testament?
Well, I mean, that's where the thing started. And they said this figure of the cloud and then the rain coming down, you know.
Can you explain all that to me in Latin?
No, right now.
Oh, come on,
no.
You can.
No.
Yes, you can.
Ik kom je explicantur. Ben, zeg ik, Nubes erat figura Virginis Mariae. The cloud erat figura, the form of Virginis Mariae. Quem, cuius cultum, Carmelite in Europam transtulerum. They brought it over into Europe. Very, very much ooh from the beginning. At Rivera, really, down to it, nos vocamur fratres Carmelitane Beatissime Virginis Maria, the brothers of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is our official title from the 1200s.
But in the Ancient Testament, I
understand, but all these figures, and then the new, let's say the Christians in the New Testament, were looking for figures and predictions in the Old Testament. And found all these things. And one of them was the famous cloud there, Elias. And it was raining and it rained and so forth and so on. And they said this was a figure of the Blessed Virgin. But they were dedicated to her from the beginning. As they say, we are called Brothers of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Mount Carmel. That's our official title in the Annuario Pontificio.
So your initials are?
Well, now, OCD.
OCD.
Carmelitatum Discalciatorum.
Are there any fathers of the church who wrote about Elijah in a special
way? Oh, heaven's sakes, they all did. They all did because he was such a... of course, then the priests of Baal, you know. That was one of his duties there. He had to kill off 300 pagan priests there. I know, and the sacrifice, and he says, in cuius conspectus sto, in the name of the Lord in whose presence I stand. This is all in the Old Testament.
You shouldn't be killing people because of our Lord.
I understand, but if God tells you to kill them, then you have to do it. Well, that's what he did. What do you mean? Ach, they all did that. Anyway, so he's a massive figure. Really.
Heartfelt thanks there, as always, to Carmelite Father Reginald Foster. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.